Hey Songtown, welcome to the podcast. Clay, I've got a question for you to start.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a moment where you questioned whether songwriting was worth it or you were delusional?
Man, Marty, I would say that I have those quite often. Or I have had them often over the years. Yeah.
Me too. Today we're going to talk about 10 different ways to tell if songwriting's worth it for you or if you're delusional.
I would say the number one thing is that you can't not do it.
Yeah.
I remember starting out, I mean, I would be at my job. I would be like writing lyrics on my lunch break. I was in this little, you know, broom closet with my guitar trying to practice and write songs. I woke up all the time thinking about songs. So I just think if you can't help yourself, then you're probably meant to be doing that because you wouldn't have that desire like that, that strong. You know?
I think you're right. If it's something you're going to do regardless, you know, you're probably meant to be a songwriter.
All right.
Second point is, if time disappears when you write, you know, if you've ever had those moments where, you know, you go, man, it's late. I need to be getting to bed, but I got this idea.
I know.
And then at 1 a.m., you're like, oh, I just got a bridge left, you know, and that kind of thing. So if time gets away from you when you write, I think that's a sign that you're meant to do it.
If you like forget to eat all afternoon because you've been writing, I've been there. Number three, you feel most like yourself when you're writing. And I have a theory why that is because when we're writing our feelings, we're expressing ourselves. That's what we're meant to do as humans, expression.
Absolutely. Number four is if you're obsessed with the craft and not just the dream.
You know, I like that.
If all you're after is just the money or a plaque on the wall or a number one, you might be delusional. But if it's something where you go, no, I want to get better with every song. I want to learn how to be a better songwriter. I want to dig into the craft and that kind of stuff. Then you're probably meant to be a songwriter.
What about this idea that you don't need to learn craft, you just need to express yourself? Because we get that a lot in the comments. What's your take on that?
My thought is, what if you did both, you know? What if you learned to really get your feelings out in the song, but you did it in a way that the craft is there and people can really relate to it? Because, you know, we've all been at writer's nights where somebody gets up and they're like this big emotional introduction and they play the song and I go, I don't have any idea what you're talking about, you know?
You don't feel it as much as they do. They're performing it and you're almost uncomfortable because it's like, you know, they're going through a hard time here, but the song's not making you feel that.
Yeah. Or when they're playing the song and they're crying and nobody in the audience is crying, you know, that shows that the craft is not there because they're not communicating that deep feeling that they have to the audience, you know?
Yeah.
The opposite would be if they're up there singing this emotional song and the whole audience is crying, then you go, okay, now they got the feeling and the craft.
Yes.
What's number five, Clay?
I would say that you catch yourself doing it when no one's listening. And what I mean is that you're willing to sit there by yourself for hours just writing and having fun. And you're not worried that, you know, I've heard one famous author say this, that if you like sitting by yourself and writing, then you're probably a writer, you know? You're not afraid to be alone in that silence. Because a lot of times that's where great songs come from. They're born out of that silence, out of boredom, you know? Yeah. I grew up on a farm, and it was like writing songs kept me entertained.
Yeah. Yeah, I've written songs on the lawnmower, you know, I was mowing the grass.
Well, that takes us back to the first one, like you can't help yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, you know, if you're a true songwriter, some of what you write is just for you.
Yeah.
You know, I've had co-writers at times tell me, you know, well, what's the point in writing something if nobody's going to hear it? And I'm like, because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You know, or it gets something out that I want to say to the world, you know?
And you don't know, we have a friend that just, Don Poitras, he just got a song cut that he wrote 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
No one ever cut it. And by chance, it got to Willie Nelson, and Willie Nelson cuts his song.
Like, wow.
it, 20 years go by, and he thought they were just writing a song for themselves, you know, that no one would ever hear. So, I mean, a great song can open some doors for
you. That's quite a cut to get on a 20-year-old song. Number six is, are you willing to sacrifice for your music? And this really came home to me. I had been trying to write for about 2 years and not making any progress, and a friend invited me to lunch. And it turned into an intervention where he was offering me a job because he felt sorry for me.
Yeah.
And the job had benefits. It had a retirement plan. It had more money than I'd ever made. And that was really my moment of going, do you want this badly enough to make it work? And are you willing to sacrifice the 401k and the insurance and all that stuff because you have to write songs? And so that was a really pivotal moment for me. Number seven.
Number seven is getting rejected and not giving up.
Ah, surviving rejection.
Because, I mean, we see this a lot in Songtown. There's two different kind of writers. The ones that join Songtown, they're taking the lessons. They're getting better. They're making improvement. They get critiques from our pros, and they put that into motion to, you know, put it into their toolbox. And then we have the ones that put a couple of songs in for feedback. They're not getting the feedback they want to hear, and so they quit.
Yeah.
It kind of breaks my heart because they think, oh, I must not be good enough. And none of us were good enough when we started. Yeah. None of us. Like, not anyone I know that does this full-time for a living was great, you know. And you can even hear somebody like Ed Sheeran talk about, he pulled out a work tape of something he wrote, a guitar vocal, when he was like 16, he's like, look how bad this sounds. Look what a shit song this is, you know? Yeah. But he managed to do all right.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we're going to get rejected, you know? I mean, that's just part of it. And, you know, one of the things that breaks my heart when I see it is people that are, I call it publisher shopping. They go, you know, if I could just find a publisher that gets me, right, all my problems would be solved, you know? And so they play for this publisher and they say, well, it needs work. So they go, well, forget that guy. Let me find another one, you know? Right. And they just keep trying to find a publisher that will magically make everything work for them instead of spending their time trying to get better as a songwriter.
All right. Number eight, Marty, what you got?
If other songwriters respect your work. Mm. You know, sometimes as songwriters, we write something that's maybe outside of the marketplace. It's not going to work for an artist. But when I play it for Clay or one of my songwriter friends, they go, wow, I really respect the craft in that. I can see how well you crafted that song. I feel what you're trying to get me to feel and all that kind of stuff. So it's always a good sign if other songwriters are giving you respect and applause for what you're doing. All right, I'm going to go ahead and grab number nine. If your songs make people feel something, then you're doing something right.
Playing out live and your songs are really hitting a note with the audience.
Exactly. You know. Or I mean, even there's a song that I've talked about on the podcast before that I wrote early in my career about my grandparents. And my grandfather died early. My grandmother was kind of miserable. And so I wrote this song called She Stopped Living the Day He Died. And my publisher said, that's never going to work. It's too personal. So in the commercial realm, it was a failure. Right. But I played it for my family, and they felt it.
Oh, nice.
And they appreciated it, and they cried. We shared this moment together, honoring my grandparents and their story. And so the song was not a failure.
Right.
And the song made the right people feel the right things.
Right.
And so sometimes we can take it, you know, even if it's not commercial, we go, well, that song didn't work. It might work perfectly for the intended audience, you know. So going by if your songs make people feel as opposed to just are they commercial or are they not commercial.
Yeah.
You got number 10?
Number 10. I feel like this one I see happen to my friends over the years, and it happened to me, is that sometimes when you're just about to quit, something good happens, you know, and it shows you, hey, maybe I should continue to do this, you know. And I've told the story when I moved to Nashville, I would get calls from back home, you know, what are you doing? What are you putting your family through? Why don't you come, you know, come back home and get your old job back? And, but I kept writing and kept writing for, took me about 7 years. But when my first number one hit, the week it went number one, I had literally like 33 voice messages from people calling, going, I knew you'd make it. Like, yeah. So it's, sometimes we feel delusional going through it. What am I doing? You know, but I find when it's the darkest is when you typically, some little sign, you know, and I've had that at different points in my career where I was, should I give up? And then no, something good happened. So.
Yeah. You know, there was a day I wrote with Billy Currington, who's a country artist, years ago, and he was waiting on someone to come pick him up after our co-write. And we were sitting on the curb out in front of my publishing company. And he said, man, I need a hit bad. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my record deal. And I said, yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my publishing deal if I don't have a hit soon. And within a month, I had written a song that he put out, and it went and on, became his first number one and my first number one, yeah. And has been the biggest song of my career. And it really launched both of us. And I think about—
Talk about a song coming in the nick of time.
Yeah. I mean, so every time I think about, you know, those moments I've had where I go, man, should I just quit this and do something else? I think about that, and I go, what if I quit that day?
Yeah.
That, you know, what if I quit the day that he and I sat out there and I'm like, well, if he's not making it, I'm not making it. Let me give up, you know? And so
you could have easily done that if that was what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, but you weren't, you were looking to make this happen. So you kept going.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really reframed my mindset. I mean, now I go into every co-write thinking this could be the one. As opposed to, well, here goes another one, you know.
You sound like that guy at Vegas that's pulling the slide. It's going to happen this time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's less delusional than that. But, yeah, I mean, so I think we that mindset of like, okay, it hasn't gone as I've hoped it would go to this point maybe. But if I keep improving, that next song could be the one that changes everything. And that song that he put out changed everything for me, literally.
All right. Hey, Songtown, if some of these or all of these sound like you, you're not delusional. It's perfectly normal. We've been there. We'll see you next time. Cheers.
Take care.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.